Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, obviously the economy is something we've talked about a lot as the bad martini, but today it's a good martini in a sense because, as we've mentioned, we've got to make sure that people know just how ineffective the Obama agenda has been when it comes time to debate the economy throughout this year and into the election campaign of next year. And now you have a lot of people in the center, if not the left, saying that that's the case, including Charlie Cook, hardly a Republican partisan, telling Chuck Todd on MSNBC that the Obama stimulus has been a clunker.
Well, economic stimulus has been totally discredited. I mean, they got one bite at the apple at it. It wasn't a very good bite back with the stimulus package in 2009. Right.
So, Jim, there you have it. You have him and Stu Rothenberg sitting at the desk, guys who, if anything, lean a little bit to the left, but are pretty much down the middle according to their projections, because accuracy is what they do for a living. And so for him to say that the stimulus is out-and-out clunker, completely ineffective, not a good thing for the president. On the very same day where he tried to claim that we are now on the path to recovery, you just have to trust us.
Yeah, it was also interesting to see yesterday Barack Obama saying that he was not worried about a double-dip recession, meaning that there is at least one American who is not worried about it. Unfortunately, it's the president of the United States. You know, seeing Rothenberg and Cook and these guys suddenly say, yes, Obama now owns the economy. He is the one who's going to be considered responsible for its performance in voters' minds. When many of us on the right have been saying this for quite a while, you know what it reminded me of, Greg?
What's that?
It was when early in the 2009, when both of these guys said there was no chance Republicans were going to take back the House, when there was absolutely no way that was going to scenario, and that folks like me who were saying it was a possibility were full of crazy talk and didn't know what we were talking about. And while I was going through and finding 99 vulnerable Democrats in open seats in the House, that these guys were downplaying it. So it's nice to see that something that automatically seems as a crazy conservative notion sooner or later turns into conventional wisdom. This is no longer conventional wisdom to you and me. This is like ancient wisdom. We found this on stone tablets somewhere. So reassuring that this is reaching the point where it really isn't something that can be hidden or something that can be obscured by the Obama administration. I think the fact that they're now just flat out in denial about the possibility of a double dip recession is a good sign. I think it's basically saying it's a Hail Mary pass. They're hoping things get better. I will want to credit James Poulos of Ricochet, though, who did observe that he isn't worried about a double dip recession because he hadn't realized we'd gotten out of the old one.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And of course, as we mentioned yesterday in the Three Martini Lunch, the president's down 20 points on favorability when it comes to the economy, and that's in a Washington Post poll. Again, not exactly a bastion of conservatism. So the issue, of course, that got the Republicans the House majority and 6 seats in the Senate last year is probably going to be a pretty big issue for the president, hopefully to his detriment in next year's presidential campaign. But on to martini number 2 now. And Jim, we've seen him before. He was the campaign manager of Ronald Reagan's 1984 landslide over Walter Mondale. Ed Rollins, I think we last saw him being really angry and dyspeptic after Mike Huckabee won Iowa when Rollins was Huckabee's campaign manager back in 2008. Now he's basically said that he's lined up with Michelle Bachmann, should she choose to run. All signs point to yes on that. And the first thing he seems to do on this interview with the Daily Caller is to go after the other person that seems to match Bachmann most closely, and that's Sarah Palin. Listen to this.
Sarah has not been serious over the last couple of years, and she got the vice presidential thing handed to her. She didn't go to work in the sense of trying to gain more substance. She gave up her governorship.
And so, Jim, I think you put it best in the morning jolt here on Wednesday, and that's that if Michelle Bachmann really wants to be a player, she probably could avoid a lot of headaches if she just reconsiders her decision on Ed Rollins.
Oh, it wasn't me. It was actually a couple other conservative bloggers. But I just kind of note, probably right now, you're seeing Michelle Bachmann. She's probably, banging her head on her desk and saying, oh, how could he do this? What was he thinking? How could he run his mouth like that and not consider how this would affect me and my bid? And somewhere I'd like to think that Christy Todd Whitman is there giving her an offer, giving her a little pat on the back saying, there, I know what that feels like. I would argue this is not a coherent strategy on the part of the Bachmann team or anything like that. This is just Ed Rollins being Ed Rollins. This is what he does. He tends to let everyone know what he thinks in remarkably honest ways. I think, his autobiography had an image of him as a boxer on the cover. This is a guy who just lives to be, fighting. There are people like me who hate primaries because everybody's in a bad mood and cranky and feels like they're getting the short shrift and they're irritable. Ed Rollins thrives on primaries. He loves these sorts of things. He loves the sharp elbows. And as I said, we mentioned earlier, that memorable Iowa caucus night. Usually your candidate wins the Iowa caucuses and you're doing cartwheels. Ed Rollins was pissed as hell at Britt Hume and Chris Wallace. And I've never seen somebody so seething and furious on a moment of victory. And I think that kind of says something about his personality. I don't think it necessarily wears well. It's very easy to imagine Ed Rollins causing a great deal of trouble for Michelle Bachmann. But, you know, he keeps getting these jobs. So he must be a dynamite interviewer, or maybe enough of his candidates have won over the years that the candidates like Bachmann, you know, believe the risk is worth the reward. But already, it looks like he's already started with a bang to this campaign. And we'll have to see if Bachmann really can go rogue, if you'll pardon the expression, when it comes to Palin criticism.
Yeah, I guess so. I think everybody who wants to be the Republican nominee clearly wants to be the next Ronald Reagan. Maybe they think grabbing his campaign manager from 28 years ago is the way to do it. If you see George H.W. Bush get the nod for vice president, then you'll know they've gone just a bit too far in that direction. On to number three now, Jim, and this is a doozy. We've talked in the last couple of weeks about new Democratic National Committee Chairman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She's also still a congresswoman from Florida, of course. And she made some headlines for basically lying about the Ryan Medicare plan. Now she's got another doozy out there. Basically, the Florida legislature has passed legislation requiring, of all things, that you actually have to present a photo ID before you can vote. In other words, prove who you are before you can vote. And here's how Debbie Wasserman Schultz likens that new law as she talked with TV1's Roland Martin.
Now you have the Republicans who want to literally drag us all the way back to Jim Crow laws and literally and very transparently block access to the polls to voters who are more likely to vote for Democratic candidates than Republican candidates. And it's nothing short of that blatant.
Jim, I'm not quite sure how this equates to making minorities read Elizabethan English or make them pay a poll tax or whatever other horrific things truly were done back in the days of Jim Crow. Making somebody pony up a driver's license doesn't seem all that draconian or unfair.
Yeah, I also think that Debbie Wasserman Schultz has been literally hanging around Joe Biden too much. because I like to think of myself as a fairly strong guy, Greg, but I don't think I can literally drag someone back to any historical time period. Time travel remains beyond me, and let's face it, some of these voters are fairly heavy. So the idea of literally dragging anyone to any particular place is, I still think, beyond the notion of all but the strongest Republicans. This is what Debbie Wasserman Schultz does. This is why she was named Democratic National Committee. It's tempting to say that she's literally an imbecile. But I think, you know, you look at the technical definition of imbecile, I don't think she meets the literal technical definition. So I think she just figuratively has to watch what she's saying.
Exactly right. Well, I guess it does take something probably that outlandish to drive Congressman Wiener's situation off the front page and talk about something else for Democrats, but I'm not sure this is what would actually help them. So, Jim, a fascinating day as always. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Thursday for the next Three Martini Lunch.